Down to brass tacks. Good. Good afternoon. It's now 12:13. All right. 4341790. Good morning.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Not too bad. No, you. No, I decided to leave this program, but when I heard you this morning, you and Sally.
Sandy.
It forced me to come out. Although people
were
calling me all the time and asking me why you don't come back on the program. Now,
I'm glad that we brought you on.
I am not in agreement with nothing that you and Sandy said.
So let
me explain myself. Let me say this. I came along from a very poor family where my mother could not read and write. Unlike other people who were fortunate, who could have come home and their parents could have taken up a book and followed the child in its development, me and many more people like us could not do such. I would like to ask Sally this morning, Sandy, what is the cost of a school term going to her school? But she could tell the public that. But let me say this. There is a school, a private primary school, where you know the taxi driver, and I was taking a child to that school. And you know what was the cost of that private school?
Hold on. No, I understand they're expensive, but I'm trying to understand what's the relevance of that point. We acknowledge that.
The relevance of that is as a social development in this society where people like you and Sandy, believe that everybody could come along in a fortunate position to collect education the same way. I went to school at St. Anne's. Judge Olson Allen went to school there too. And you want to tell me that the same system that you came out of, the same system that Sandy came out of, she may be privileged because of private school, but you want to tell me that poor working class people, that is the reason why the introduction of the Jewish secondary school came about, because everybody could not pay to go to the modern or the federal or the other private schools. And with the introduction of West St. Joseph and Parkinson and the other schools, children, the parents recognized that despite the fact that they were paying for secondary school, those children that went to those schools did better than those who could afford to pay. And the problem today in this society, let me complete, the problem today in this society is that those people who could afford and when they complete their primary school terms and they realize that they ain't going further than the one that went to West St. Joseph, they want to pull back the system so that their children could climb the ladder. And you are supporting it. You are supporting you and Sandy. I want Sandy to tell the public how much money would it cost a little child to go to her school.
And all right, sir. No, and I want you to sit back a minute and listen to what I'm going to tell you in response. But you have a fundamental misconception that we need to set right. And the first thing is that you seem to be suggesting that either Sandy or myself is suggesting that we should introduce private schooling, secondary schooling, and that's not what either of us are about. Indeed, neither of us are attempting to suggest that the situation or the system that you benefited from should be kicked down in favor of a system that forces people into paying. No, that's not what we are about. What Sandy and I are generally saying, centrally saying, is that we have a system of selection to secondary school that's unfair, and it should be replaced by a placement system that allows all children to benefit from schooling to which all children are entitled. And that's the fundamental, that's the simplest way that I can put it. There is no implicit suggestion in there that there will be any reintroduction of fee-paying schools. My mother taught at the modern high school, and it was a fee-paying school, but there is no suggestion that we should go back there. I'm familiar with that system. What we are basically saying is that we need to have a system that is more equitable, because we agree that an 11-plus exam is an unfair exam because it helps students who have had the benefit of what one could argue would be a private primary education And indeed, our intention is to create a level of equilibrium. So I'm sorry, sir, if you think that that's what we have been promoting, either we have not been clear in terms of articulating the views, or alternatively, you've misunderstood us. There's one of the two.
All right, let me finish on this. I could recall when I was at St. Anne's, we had a school teacher by the name of John Gamble, who did not receive O-levels at the time, but he formed study. And he produced, I could call, three names in one form, because I was ahead of them. Alistair Donnell, who is a judge today, Bernard Carrington, who was a doctor in America, and a girl named Barbara Russell, who is also a medical practitioner. There I went to Sandy School, not a private school. They went to the same school that we were going to school barefoot. I want you all to understand that everybody do not develop the same time. I hear you.
But sir, that's all of that we are seeing. I don't understand. You see, you arguing with me and suggesting that I'm saying things I've never said. This whole idea about inequity, the idea that people don't develop at the same pace, the idea that people don't have the same interests, the idea that students who are poor are at a challenge with the educational system, all of that is part of the concern that Sandy and I have. Indeed, that's central to the concern that Sandy and I have. How can you take a child like me, who is dyslexic, and attempt to examine me in the same way that you would examine Dennis, who is not? It's not fair, because you presume that because we are both 11, we can both be examined at the same time. That's not the case. We heard about Prime Minister Motley just now. Clearly, she was developing at a different pace. She had to be examined differently. So the point that we are making is that to create a system that assumes that at 11, everybody is able to be examined in the same way in English, maths, and comprehension is wrong and unfair. And that's essentially what you're saying.
I am arguing that that is not
so. You're shadow.
Cannot.
But sure, you are shadow boxing.
You be cannot sir. Compare. Let me finish. You had a hole there. Let me finish. You cannot compare Prime Minister Mayor Motley with my son, who went to the same Queen's College. And I was only an ordinary secondary school child that went to West St. Joseph's. Me or Prime Minister, who I have a lot of respect for, grew up in a family where her father was an attorney at law. When also grew up, his mother was only a shopkeeper. Also not a
What's the difference? No, what is the difference?
Because
United Kingdom, hold on a second. Sir, listen to what I'm telling you. Margaret Thatcher's father was a shopkeeper. She became Prime Minister of Great Britain, right? The other Prime Minister that they had more recently, the Conservative Prime Minister, who succeeded her about three or four Prime Ministers later, he went to Eton. She wasn't working class, but the point is that it doesn't matter whether your father runs a shop or your father was one of the captains of industry. The point is that the ability of the child can be reflected in such the way that you have two different types of people that become Prime Minister of Great Britain. And the point that I'm trying to make to you, sir, is that you are shadow boxing because you are arguing with people. You are arguing with people who are fundamentally supporting the position that you're bringing.
But let me finish on this. You come on this air every day, whenever you're talking about education. And you said that foundation is the best school in the island. True or not?
It is. But it is.
But how you could come back and tell people that stored in the good and he went to foundation?
Huh? Bree read the foundation too? Alistair Hayes and the Chief Justice met the foundation too, and Trotty met the foundation as well.
And he met the foundation.
As Satya Bradshaw, sir, look, come off it. You gotta be able to understand when I talk in serious talk and when I talk in foolishness, right? I just give out a list of schools that people say they miss good schools too. And as far as I'm concerned, I think that they're great schools, right? But I have my bias because that's where I went. But, you know, I acknowledge that foundation has done well in some regards. And there's some issues that we've had in terms of the students that we have produced. All right, sir? Thank you for calling. And as I said, I feel that you were shadow boxing a bit because you and I are not in disagreement. We are, Sandy and I are with you on this issue for sure. Dr. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. Dr. Brass
Tacks. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. This is my friend. This is my friend. How are you doing there?
I good, Peter.
Good.
Peter,
you're good.
I am comfortable.
Yes, ma'am.
But let me tell you, you know a lot of people that went to school at base schools ain't come up with a certificate. Some get jobs because the schools that I went to, but none of them had a certificate.
Really?
I know like of a lot that went to base schools that ain't come up with a certificate, but you know the school count. So that how they get big jobs. And some that got big jobs, they know what's going on. Anyhow, Peter, let me tell a lot. Hello?
I'm listening to you there. How you doing?
Look, a lot of the elderly people, the old people that in homes, went to go to schools too. So I want to know what is going on in the East at the old people home. What's going on with them out there? I heard a video circling around saying that a number of persons sick. So I want to know what's happening with that old people home in the East. They went to school at good schools too. And about the certificate, no, we want here. This is people that help build Barbados. So what going on up there in the East at the old people home?
I don't know. I heard the video that you're talking about, but it was audio, not video.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I don't know how much truth there was in it, and I prefer to receive my information via the Ministry of Health and the Minister of Health. So hopefully, when the press conference occurs this evening, a question could be asked about it, and we can hear whether that happened
too.
Or not. You live in the East?
Hello?
You live in the East? I asked if you live in the East.
I live in
If you
East.
Live in the East.
A lot of them, build Barbados and they have a certificate. A lot of them have a certificate. But anyhow, I want to know now, how come...
Everybody got a certificate? You ain't got a birth certificate and a baptismal certificate?
I have certificates. Are you on certificates too.
All of we got certificates, right? Everybody got certificates, births and baptismal. And if you're like me, I have baptismal and birth. Some people only have one.
I see
LCC. Yeah, well, there you go. But that's good. So you got more certificates than most.
Peter?
Yes, ma'am. I'm listening
to know, how come only 10 person allowed at a grave site, right? And in a supermarket, when you go to a supermarket, you have more than 10 persons in a grocery store. How does that logic work out?
If you should
be allowed to have more than 10 persons at a grocery site.
So
because
if you want to see more,
huh?
All it means is that if you want to see more than 10 people at one time, you got that.
I'm talking about the people that are going to the funerals.
But right, so if you want to see.
You should have more persons at a grave.
If you
watching the pardon?
If you want to see more than 10 people at one time, then just dead and you can see 10 people.
No. Listen to the logic. Don't come and comment my hey. They are
to you, hey. It's all decided to comment you, hey.
Yes, let me tell you, when you go in a grocery store, you see more than 10 persons in grocery store shopping.
Right.
Grave. So you going to somebody's grave. You going to watch the people putting down, and you only have 10 persons there. There should be more than 10 persons. That's an open space. But if you allow more than that in a supermarket and a grocery only thing, what type of logic that is?
But then the solution then would be to bury people in the supermarket. if you bury them in the supermarket, you've got more than 10 people coming, they could go in the shop. No? So I decided I really miss when you call, you know. I really wish you would call more often because we get some good conversations. Anyhow, good afternoon and welcome back to Dr. Brass Tacks. We're here with you until 2 p.m., which means that we have about an hour and 15 minutes remaining. We have a whole lot to talk about. The menu today has been wide and varied. We've had a buffet that is comprised issues relating to education, issues relating to COVID. And we have a sprinkling of politics that's thrown in for good measure. And I'm hoping that I can continue the discourse, myself and Dennis. The number is 434-1790. You can also message us at 266-IVOB. Or alternatively, you can use the email address, peter.w.wickham@gmail.com. Peter, good afternoon. I registered my father of 95 years age 2 weeks ago. When the registration started, I did this on the WhatsApp number provided, and I got in a reply that the application was received, and the same afternoon, I would be contacted. Up to now, not a word. And the three of his friends have been registered last week, were called and received the vaccine. I'm also registered in the same time, and not a word. Now, what do I do? We register again. I'm at a loss when I hear the guy from the BDF talking real pretty, but the system is not working properly. Well, let me just say to you, ma'am, I am happy this week that last week I was defending myself in a conversation that related to accusations I was making about people being forced to take a vaccination. I am happy this week that the conversation is not about anyone putting a gun to anyone's head and forcing them to take a vaccination. The conversation is about the fact that we have more takers than we have vaccinations to give. We have a problem of supply and not a problem of demand. And this was a point that I was making even last week that I don't think that many people grasp. There is really no reason for us to talk about forced regimes in a situation where we cannot even satisfy your demand. So let me say this to you, ma'am, that your experience confirms to me, and when I see the lines and so on, that Barbados is having an issue regarding supply. And I think that that's a good problem to have because it means that there's a willingness on the part of Barbadians to be vaccinated and the system needs to work. I should tell you also, ma'am, that I too registered my mother, and I have an elderly relative as well, her sister, who is older than she is, and they were registered. My mother was called, the other lady was not called, my aunt was not called. My understanding is that it has a lot to do with where you live and the extent to which they believe that they have a sufficiently large cohort of people in the area to justify the identification of a center and an opening. This is the impression I am getting from what I am hearing. So in the same way that we had a list with two people who were elderly, one got called and the other one didn't, that's the situation that presents itself. The fact that you yourself have not been called could very well mean that you are not in a priority group. I'm assuming that you are younger than your 95-year-old father, and it is possible that they have determined that they're not really going to deal with persons in that age grouping yet. The walk-up system, I understand that that has been in place in some instances where people have just been showing up. It's discouraged, but unfortunately, that's what has been happening, where people are hearing that there are vaccination centers opening, people have just been showing up to be vaccinated. Let me be clear to you, ma'am, that I think the situation needs to be tweaked. The situation is clearly not working well. And as much as I think it's good that we have a problem of supply and not a problem of demand, we also have to be able to deal with it far better than we are. Asking a person who is 89 years old to wait for 2 hours to me is unconscionable. It's almost as unconscionable as locking up somebody for breaking the rules, which I'm going to get to shortly. So it's not really a fair thing. I think that we need to find a better way to deal with it. And my understanding is that part of the reason the Prime Minister went to the Parliament this morning was to see whether there are better ways that they can tweak the system of vaccinations to ensure. What I would suggest to you, ma'am, is just take it easy. You will be called. Your father will be called. The fact that they have not been called yet doesn't mean that it has not been listed. You got a response, which means that they have received the information, and then they're obviously working on it. She has subsequently told me that she's 65 and she has a heart ailment. It is entirely possible, ma'am, that you're still too young, because it's possible that they're looking at 70 and your single comorbidity may not be enough to qualify you for advanced placement, because there may be others with more comorbidities than you are that is up there. So, ma'am, be patient. Let's hear what the Prime Minister says this evening about the availability of more vaccines. Let's see how next week goes in terms of the ability to deliver more of those vaccines. And then if we're going to have to scream and shout next week, then let's do so. But let's just give the situation, the system, a chance to settle itself. I hear you and I feel you. It's not good enough. People are registering, they're coming forward, and then they get in there, they're having to be forced to wait for too long a period of time. And I think it is unacceptable, like you do. Peter, the issue of 11 plus is needed to level the playing field where salaries are concerned. If you're so concerned about underachievers, what they need is more pay for what they do. Why should one person get $1,000 a month and another have to live on $1,200? That's a question that needs discussion, and I dare you to raise this. Well, I've raised it. The issue of unequal pay often has nothing to do with the school of origin. It really has to do with a lot of the work that people do. And maybe that is something that we can talk a bit more about. Having heard Andrew Pilgrim's explain why we as a people are indifferent, having heard Andrew Pilgrim explains why we as a people are an indifferent, selfish, and disciplined lot. Rules and laws are made for breaking. Kadir, give you a chance. You only break the law so well. Lawyers, politicians, and also grew up in the Zadar culture are allowed to fester and blossom in the last 45 years. So sweet. That's who he is. And I think that that comment is unfortunate. When I started the program today, I identified with the pain that Andrew is feeling at this point in time, because I too feel that it is unfortunate that you would lock up somebody for breaking COVID regulations when other persons have been sentenced, have been given fines for those regulations. If you fine a beauty queen $12,000 or $6,000 or whatever it was she was fined, she pays it and she leaves. Then you say to someone who is in a position to buy a sweet drink and a pack of Shirley biscuits that you're fining that person $6,000, then you are essentially telling that person that you're going to lock them up. Because the reality is that when you impose a fine of $1,000 on a person like that, you're creating a difficulty that that person cannot fathom. And I think the point that Andrew is making is a point that has to be heard and felt. Yes, people who break the rules need to be punished. Yes, we are a country of laws, and lawbreakers have to be punished. But I'm sorry, in most places, you wear a mask improperly or you don't wear a mask, you get a ticket, right? The idea of saying to someone that you're going to subject that person to prison for breaches of these regulations, especially in the way that it is being done, I think it is very unfortunate. Sentencing someone to prison is a very, very serious thing. And as I said, if you kill someone or you rob somebody's house and you go to prison, and then you sit right next to somebody whose guilt is essentially having a line over the COVID weekend, or alternatively going to the shop to buy tuna over the COVID weekend, it's unfortunate because it sends a signal that the two of them are the same and the two of them are not the same. I'm sorry. I'm with Andrew Pilgrim on this one, and I think that, ma'am, you're being hard. Down to brass tacks, good afternoon, and welcome.
Hey, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, sir. How are you doing? Hey. Hey, good afternoon, and welcome. How are you going? I'm listening to you, sir. Go right ahead, please.
Yes, I'm Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Right, man, sorry about that. I didn't know I was on.
You're on.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear you on today, because I always was going to come up with education. But we were to talk a bit of politics, but education, I think, is greater priority. Because I was on the topic a little bit for the week and last week, and you had the callers, like the tall boys and the things coming up and telling me don't call the program on these topics. So I said I was going to stop it for now, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, first thing, though, I want to say that, you know, Sandy is passionate about these programs. And whenever she was on with Admiral, too, same thing. But she got to desist from turning it into a classroom setting where she's trying to teach grammar and stick to the issues, the problems, which she stated clearly. But then, you know, she go on to talk about the little nitty-gritties of grammar and so on. We know them issues, but... So just keep to the general point, and we'll save a bit of time. Now, let us look at the issue. How do you address an issue? First of all, we have to identify the issues, and we certainly have issues in education, right? And we come up with some agreement or with some hypothesis that these are the issues or this is the issue. And then we discuss it like how we are here today and refine it. But at the end of the day, you need to seek a solution. And I think, in my mind, given the length of time you were talking about the 11 plus, over 11 or 12 years now or more, and other people, and including Sandy and others, I think that we are at the stage, because we're not going forward. We are repeating the discussions every day. But we need to look, how do we go forward? In other words, a solution. And I can tell you what and where I think we need a pointer for the solution. The solution has to come through leadership and the identification of who would lead the process. Now, someone called earlier, I think his name was William, and And he made a very important point, because Sandy was alluding to the ministry creating policy and changing the level. The ministry can't do none of them things. These things are will happen at the political level. And that's the person who's leading the show right now is Santiago Bradshaw. I'm only so sorry, Peter, that it wasn't the former minister who Ronald George leading in Norway, because I know you would have given a good line basing for what's going on in Barbados right now. But I know your sister Sandy is your friend, and you can eat she and them. But Peter, you're going to be too contradictory. If you are speaking on the behalf of these young people today, and you talk about a ghetto education in the next 15 years, are you going to let that ghetto education culture to develop? I think you have to close your eyes to friendship and deal with this issue. Sandia Bradshaw had not created this problem. Sandia Bradshaw would not work on the removal of the problem and deal with the issue. And there are so many issues today in education. I put a lot of questions over here to Sandia Bradshaw, and she does not respond to anything. Sandia Bradshaw operates by having a meeting with the permanent secretary in Ministry of Education, and then they tell the two of them, they're going to go forward and discuss it. She has to have visibility. See, I agree that when you come to these four, that the technical people will have their input. But, I mean, some good people, competent people, will allow you to give them the information, and they will come and present it. But she's saying, oh, present firsthand. I guess I need the background. I got to watch what's going on. Some people talk about my working behind the scenes. Working behind the scenes, what? You hire somebody to build a house. And every day you come out, you're in the house, guy, and they come and tell you, I'm working behind the scenes. I'm working behind the scenes. They ain't got any name, so you need to come forward. If you work behind the scenes for some time, yeah, but eventually you have to come forward. And Sandy Bradshaw is not coming forward no matter what you do. And that is why I was asking that Ms. Motley look into this matter. Education is too serious. And replace Sandy Bradshaw with somebody who is willing. Because remember this, you know,